Raise your Bible. Let me see all the Word. We're a Bible-believing church, so we got to bring the Word of God. Thank you for bringing it, by the way. The Word is the only thing that's going to give you any kind of hope in the last of the last days, and that's what we believe. We believe we're in the last of the last days, which is not scary. That's actually a wonderful thing. But while we're looking up, because the Word says our redemption draws nigh, we still are living in a world, as we've always said, but not of it. We still have to see a fallen world. Last week, we began to get some freedom from things that's holding us in bondage or keeping us captive. And I just pray, and hopefully that I hear a lot of testimonies that you are set free. Because you are. Nothing. No sickness or disease. No issues of anger or depression. No problems in any way should have you bound up. No drug, no alcohol, nothing. Nothing. Because last week, and start flipping over to 1 John, we're going to just dig into chapter 2. But what we learned as you begin to turn, go all the way to the back of your Bible if you don't know where 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is. Hit Revelations and head backwards just a couple of books and you'll find 1st John. 1st John. And what we learned last week, that is very important to have freedom of things that has kept us in bondage or captive, is that we've got to understand that fellowship with the Lord is key, because what 1 John say, He is light. And there's no darkness at all, it says in Him, in the King James. No darkness. It can't fellowship with each other. You're either in one or you're in the other. And I'm not talking about you're not born again, because if you've got that helmet of salvation on, that's a wonderful thing to have on. But there's the rest of the body that we got to get covered up. And we understand that in the Epistle of Ephesians or whatever, how we've got to get the whole armor of God on. But we've got to understand that we have to fellowship with the Lord, who is the light of the world, man. Jesus is the light. Okay, then when you hang around people, then you want to make sure you yoke yourself with people that are of the light. I didn't say they didn't make mistakes. I'm just talking about that they're people that build you up, not tear you down. They're the ones that when you're going through a trial and tribulation, they turn you to the Word of God. I mean, they're not trying to bring you under guilt and condemnation, because we know that's not of our God. But the only source of hope and getting freed from things that hold us bound and hold us captive is staying in the light, being around likely people that man are going to serve Him. So as I study, the Lord usually just causes me to just carry on from what we studied from last week. And so what did I do? I began to dig after verse 10, when it says, if we say that we've sinned, that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Now, here's what that means, and then we're going to go to verse 1 of chapter 2. Because in the verse right before that, it talks about how God, the advocate, if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now listen to me real carefully. Look at me. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, when He became the Lord of your life, the born-again child you are, you were made righteous. Okay? Now, if you do things unrighteous, does not mean you're not righteous, because you're still righteous. You just got to understand that God wants you to know that you, if you're made righteous, then understand what that means and do things right. Because that's what righteousness means, is doing things right in right standing with the Lord. Okay? So this church, I believe that we cannot be afraid to talk about sin. And there are churches that kind of steer away from it because it makes people feel uncomfortable. Ha! Don't you think the devil makes people uncomfortable? So if we fellowship in darkness, then we're not going to be seeing things manifested that the light wants us to see and be and do. If you're believing God for healing, then man, you got to have the light of Jesus and the understanding, the wisdom that God's already healed you. All we've got to do is receive the manifestation, let it happen. Amen. We got to confess it, and you know, the more you confess the word, you'll start believing it. Get all that junk out, that the old religious ways. But so when it's talking about if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word's not in us, all that means is when people are doing sins that they know is a sin, but they justify it and they just keep doing it because, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we use all those excuses. That's what this is talking about. So just own up to it. That's why God is saying if you'll just confess the sin, God's faithful. I mean, that's why Jesus came, right? Okay, let's dig now into chapter 2 so that we can not just be free from what we studied in 1 John to get freedom from bondage and being held captive in whatever area it might be, but now chapter 2 is going to help us stay free. How many of you know that the enemy tries to come after you receive the word, after you've been set free, to steal the word back from you? And you can't let him do that. You got to have that confidence in the word of God that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every fiery dart that the wicked one brings against you will not penetrate you. You know why? Because you're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water producing fruit. God wants you to have victory after victory in your life if you'll just understand that fellowshipping with God and the light, because remember, no darkness is in our God at all. God wants you to fellowship in the light so that, man, revelation can come and you can start seeing manifestations. I mean, things that you're believing God for is going to come to pass. So when you get set free, now we need to just continue to learn how to stay set free. Okay? Look at verse 2. It starts out in the King James, "My little children." I find that interesting because if you study the Word of God, God talks about children constantly. I mean, childlike faith. Because a child... And I'm even talking spiritually, people that just, they have not been in religious churches, all messed up and contaminated. I mean, they just, when the Bible says it, childlike faith, they just believe it, man. And so here God's saying, hey, little children, I need you to know that, you know, believe like a child. When we started this church, let me do a quick little rabbit trail. All preachers go on a little rabbit trail every now and then. When we started this church, I can't tell you how many calls I got from people that wasn't even coming to the church that were asking if we had already fulfilled leadership positions. That's all they wanted. All they wanted to know is have you ever already filled your leadership positions? Because if you haven't, then we want to then maybe come to your church so that we can be in leadership. And my reply to them always was, We're going to let the Spirit of God fill those leadership positions with people that are called to this church. Not someone just trying to find a position in a church to, you know, that's a great heart to want to do something in a church, but that can't be the motivation to come to a church so that you can get in a leadership position. No, you need to go to a church because the Spirit of God has directed you to that church so that where you plant is where you grow, you see. Because those kind of people that are, they're usually the church hoppers when they start trying to find a new church. And they're the ones that give you the most trouble. Trust me, I know. Because if you don't preach and do things even in a business way, how they were raised, then they give you trouble. And they don't last too long in this church. I just happen to be a little ornery cowboy preacher that helps people understand that God didn't call you to be the pastor. He called me. And he did it for a reason. You see, because if he had called you, I wouldn't even need to be here. You just get up here and do it the way God told you to do it. But see, he didn't do that. So what happens is then you got to get it in order. So God's trying to say, look, children, let's start having childlike faith, because if you're in this church, God's called me to be the shepherd to you, not you to me, right? Okay, so what it does is it gets people in order. Now look what it says. My little children, these things write I unto you, is the King James, that you sin not. Look at me. Do y'all receive that? I mean, God's saying, look, don't sin. As if you have some authority over the spirit of the enemy called sin. Well, how many of you know you do? And I talked last week, we can go back to Romans and we can talk about how the Bible says that sin has no dominion over us. We can say yes to it, but we can definitely say no to it. All through the Word of God, God is saying, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Submit yourself to the Lord and resist him and he will flee. So the thing is you've got to know that the issues of staying out of bondage and out of captivity in whatever area that the enemy is trying to destroy you in is verse 1, my little children, I write unto you this, sin not. Because you have the authority over sin of all kinds. Listen to me. It says, if any man sin, we then have an advocate. Oh man, this is good news. This right here, if you're Episcopalian, you're about to shout. Okay, get ready. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Thank God for Jesus, y'all. Oh. I mean, everybody wants to hear my testimony about college, how the party was at my house. No. The good thing about my advocate, Jesus, is he cleansed me from all those 2 years of running from God and the party being at my house in college. Matter of fact, he don't even remember it anymore as far as the east is to the west. That's how good Jesus is. If you don't catch anything this morning, you've got to catch that scripture. Verse 1, where if you sin, you have an advocate. You have a way out. You have someone that conquered hell, death, and the grave. You have someone that took the multiple of sins and brought it to a cross, died, and then, praise God, was raised from the dead. The good news is you have the advocate, but then with the advocate, he's given you the power and the authority to say no to the sin. And you don't have to keep doing it. Okay? Now let's keep going. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation, or whatever that word is, for our sins. Hey, that's better than the these, thous, and thuses, huh? I mean, you can get mixed up in all of them. All right, listen. And not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it's just not just the believer's sins. I mean, God sent Jesus so he can be the advocate for all sins. Man, I'm telling you guys, if we get a hold of this, there will be nothing but victories in our life. I'm not saying you won't go through the trials and tribulations. The key word is going through them, right? We always major on getting through a trial and tribulation. Can't tell you how many times I teach people as they come for counseling sessions of being in this storm and teaching them how to get on through it quickly. Because really, how you act, what you say in the midst of a storm is how you come out of it. And let's see, for 30 plus years now, I've said this, and you church people have heard me say it. Me and my wife don't go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. I didn't say they didn't come, because they come. Try being a pastor. We just know how to not allow our joy to be robbed. We know how to keep our strength. We know how to continue to confess the Word of God. We know how to stay in the light, not in darkness. We know how to continue to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. We know how and to understand the power that is in the Word of God. We know how to speak to the mountain and command it to be cast into the sea and not doubt in our heart. We just believe the things which we say will come to pass. We'll have whatsoever we say. We know how to do those kind of things. I didn't say we didn't make some mistakes. I just know what to do when we do make a mistake and I realize, oh, I apologize, sir. God, forgive me. And right then, God forgives me and remembers it no longer. Amen. Now, some people and friends still remember it, as we've always said, and they try to bring it up to us over and over. Remember when you did this? And your response should be, oh, no. Since I serve the God of light and no darkness is in Him at all, that was the old me and I don't even remember that stuff any longer. But more importantly, our God doesn't remember it. Okay? So if Jesus is the advocate, oh man, then we've got to understand that sin has no dominion over us and we can say no to it. Look at verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. All right, don't get mixed up here, y'all. Stay with me. Our God is not a God of a bunch of rules and regulations, okay? But when He's talking about just follow His commandments, all that means is if you're born again, the Bible says in Galatians that if you're born again of God, then you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And when you're a son and you're a daughter and you're translated from the kingdom of darkness because of Jesus, remember, He's the advocate, you're translated in the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ the light, it's a new kingdom, then you have to understand that we act a different way. That's why the Bible calls us peculiar. We're different people. We want to do what the Father does. That's why we have a Bible, so that we can do what it says. We can talk what it says. We can be all these things that the Word of God says we can be, like winners and not losers, like the head and not the tail, like above situations, not underneath them, doing all things through Christ, which gives us strength, being more than a conqueror through God, because He loves us. You see, there's something about following His commandments. All that is just being obedient to the Word of God, not allowing the devil to have dominion over you. Listen to me. The devil is just a fallen angel. You and I were created in the image of God. An angel was not. Now, thank God for them. Amen. Thank God for my protection angels, the ministering angels, etc. I mean, thank God for them. But one thing you got to understand is you and I are made higher. We can sit or we can stand in the presence of our God, and an angel cannot. Okay? So think about that with the devil. He's just a fallen angel. Why would you be afraid of a fallen angel when you are created in the image? Remember Mama, my grandma? She used to say, don't, if you're going to say and talk to the devil, don't talk out loud. And I said, why, Mama? She said, because he might hear you. And all that meant is she was more afraid of him than he was afraid of her. But yet she had the Spirit of God on the inside of her. Okay, stay with me. So it's important that we, verse 3, keep his commandments. I like the Amplified because it says, and this is how we may discern daily by experience that we're coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become more acquainted with him. If we keep, bear in mind, observe, practice his teachings, precepts, and commandments. See, there's something about following the wisdom of God. And I don't know how many people have told me, look, I'm just not called to preach. You don't have to be a preacher, but you're a called man and woman of God. You got to start learning who he is. And the only way to do that is start getting into the Bible. That's why we do Bible studies, so we can learn it a little bit more. So that when a blood issue comes to our bodies, we'll know what to do. We speak to that in Jesus' name and command that body to line up with God's word and be healed in Jesus' name like we did earlier. When you go to the doctor, then the doctor, if you believe you're healed, you believe that you receive. The doctor's going to say, wow, I don't know what's happened. I mean, your blood pressure is good. I mean, can't find anything wrong with your blood. And that's when you go, glory be to God. Amen. See, okay. Let's move on. All right, so verse 3 again, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. Man, that's pretty strong, right? Equilow. Verse 5. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Listen to me, y'all. One thing that we cannot do as believers in Jesus is have this this heart about us that sees constant faults in people. Amen. No, because if you understand love, everybody remembers when that movie Brokeback Mountain came. Remember that? And it was, oh, wow. Hopefully not a single person saw it, but they told me I was going to be invited on Fox News because of the cowboy world was under attack. What do you think about Brokeback Mountain? The very first scene was two men on a sheep ranch having sex. And I'm telling you, and I had to go watch that filth just so I would know, you know, if they asked questions. And it was terrible and very, very ungodly. And it was making, look, the reason God's using the cowboy world started in the 70s and how God's using it today, cowboy churches popping up all over the country, is because we're the last known group of people, a culture of people that's still masculine. Amen. And God needs some masculine men so that women don't have to be a man. Amen. Our country is so messed up, y'all. Yeah, well, a lot of it's the church's fault because we've backed up and men have stopped being men. I'm not talking dominant. I'm talking about a man that's the head spiritually of the house. A man that can actually be a man, because when we're not, then the woman has to do it all. And y'all don't deserve that as women, you see. So I had to watch this movie, and it was because the enemy doesn't want anybody to be masculine if they're a man. That's why there's so many genders. I've been having some issues with, that's why I haven't shaved, with these, I don't know what going on, but little old sores and things, and it was on the upper lip and maybe a little bit of the nose, and it's still kind of messing with me. And I went to dermatologist, and I wanted to see what's going on here. And when I'm filling out the paperwork, it began to ask me what gender I was. I'm telling you, there was a lot to pick from, y'all. And we're not afraid to say there's two genders. Amen. You're either a man, and you know it, if you are, biologically. And we don't have to have a teaching on that, right? And you also know if you're a woman. You don't have to be confused, but there's two genders. And so when I got into the area with the doctor, and she saw my personality, and another nurse was with her, and she said, "Are you from West Texas?" I said, "Believe it or not, I was raised in Odessa, graduated high school at Odessa High." She said, "I knew it, just by the way you talk." And so then that led to a few open doors, right? Kind of like y'all's paperwork. Of course, she's having to work for a big company that's in Austin, has several of these places around. And I said, "You know, I noticed on your paperwork that it talked about several genders. You know, I said, you realize there's only two?" She said, "That's right, brother." She said, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. I don't like to have to say it." And the other girl's like, "That's right. Go, girl." I said, "There's only two according to the Word of God. Do you believe that?" "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "Then get my face healed." Anyway, getting there. Man, I don't know. I don't know where to stop. We're out of time, doggone it. So first five real fast. "But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily the love of God is perfected. Hereby know that we are in him." Verse 6. "He that says he abides in him ought to himself also walk, even as he walked." Okay, let's stop right there then. We understand that, right? Be a doer of the word. If you want to stay freed from things that had held you in bondage, I don't care if it was a gossip spirit. I'm here to tell you, you don't want to be a gossip. Because if you're a gossip and you got lots of time to gossip about me, you ain't taking care of your own self. You're more worried about other people than your own self. And don't be that type of person. Man, come on, stay hooked with the Word of God, y'all. Don't you give up on God's Word. Just have an understanding that God says, sin not. Why? Because you have the authority. You're in the light of Jesus, who is the light, and no darkness is in him. So you don't fellowship with darkness in any way. "Yeah, but I like to have a few drinks." I know, but those few drinks end up turning into dark things. Man, I don't know how many people get mad at me for talking about alcohol. "Oh, you're meddling in my business." No, I'm just preaching the Word of God and saying things that will help you stay in the light. Because when you get in the darkness, that's open doors for the enemy. That's why Ephesians said, "Give the devil no place." I'm just one that, I just want to see success in your life and not having to deal with the issues over and over and over that you allow to come in because you sin not. Or you're supposed to sin not. You've got the Word of God, y'all. That's why he says little children. Because that's what it feels like I'm doing right now, all you gray-haired folk. I'm acting like your papa. My son is 16 years old, and he's at his sister's in Stephenville area. And I have the 360 app. Do y'all have that? Get the thing. Keep an eye on those kids. And it's after 12, and I noticed he is not at London's house last night. And you know why I woke up? Because my stinking dog wanted out. So I decided, I wonder where old Seth Ross is. a cowboy. He's not home. So I'm not real big on texting, just haven't ever been. I think that communication needs to be with the mouth, right? So I called and said, "Where are you?" Dad, I'm with Zach, my cousin, and he wanted to go to a friend's. I said, "Yeah, but you're 16 and Zach is 19. Get your bootieth, hometh, or you're going to be deadeth in the morningeth." "Yes, sir, Dad." And I had already sent word to London, my daughter, who's 20, and I'm thinking the 20-year-old is going to be watching the 16-year-old. You see where I'm going? This is not a time to back off from the Word of God. This is the time that you say, no, you're going to do what I say, because you're going to line up with how God wants us to be teaching you, train up the child in the ways of the Lord. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not his friend, even though I'm his friend. No, I'm his daddy. Man, y'all, there's a lot of times that our children make us want to cuss. But I've got to hold my tongue. I have a rope that will beat his I'm kidding. Get you in trouble there too. Oh, we can have victory in Jesus. Do y'all receive it?